Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
Well, I'd like to welcome all our listeners back to this edition of Never Too Late. My name is Monsignor Bill Fay. I'm on the faculty here at Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary. And we've been doing these podcasts for almost a year now, and they've been most enjoyable in my experience to use the opportunity to introduce our seminarians to those of you who've become faithful listeners. And we're so grateful to you for that. I'm especially grateful today to have with me Deacon Edgar Serrano, who is studying for the Diocese of Orlando in Florida. And he is now a transitional deacon and will be ordained to the priesthood on May 27th. Welcome, Edgar. It's a delight to have this opportunity to chat with you today.
Thank you so much, Monsignor, for this great opportunity to be with you.
Edgar was born and raised, and until 1999, lived permanently in Colombia. And so he has an experience not only of what the church is like in Colombia, but now in the 24 years that he's been here in the United States, a real good sense of what the church is like here in the United States, not only in traditional American type of communities, but also in Hispanic American types of communities here. Edgar, if you're going to talk for a few moments about the differences that you think in terms of culturally, what are the beautiful things that you see in the church as expressed in Colombia as the church here in the United States?
Well, Monsignor, I think it's more similitudes, more things that we unite our communities. Pretty much my life as Catholic has been in the United States, but my experience from my country is they have a great difference. First is my country primarily is a Catholic country. We get educated in our schools from elementary school, high school, with religion. Mm-hmm. And that gives us a great opportunity to get involved in our faith. And from that point, churches are packed most of the times. Mm-hmm. And people are standing in Sunday Mass. Still now, even with the influence of different denominations in my country, it's still Catholicism, the main religions in my country. Mm-hmm. So you ask me for the big difference will be the language, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we express ourselves in one particular way, in one particular culture. Mm-hmm. The richness in United States is that having different language, different culture, that make our own different way of celebrate the liturgy and to celebrate our faith. So that's beautiful. That's totally beautiful to see that over here and in different parishes.
I've had the privilege of being able to travel to Colombia and to different parts of Latin America. And one of the things that I've always enjoyed is there is a tremendous spirit that gets expressed at the liturgies. When people sing, they sing with gusto. There's a lot of movement in the church. I just find myself feeling that it's greatly alive. Sometimes we can be passive. I remember St. Augustine reminds us, the one who sings well sings twice. Yes. And that seems to be known fully by folks in the Colombian experience.
My country, for the last 50, maybe a little bit more of 50 years, the influence of the charismatic renew has been really touchy in our communities. Mm-hmm. That create some particular approach between the people and the celebrant. Mm-hmm. And in the way that we celebrate, we get to the point that we have full towns with the charismatic renew, where we don't even mention charismatic renew anymore because the whole church in Colombia is already involved in the charismatic renew. The music and the celebrations and liturgies, service of liberation and expression, charismatic expressions are really powerful in many cities, especially in Colombia.
One of the things that you talk quite honestly about, and I think is something of interest to our listeners, is the fact that though you were born and brought up within the Catholic faith, at a certain point in your life, you did some exploring with another religious experience. And then thanks be to God, found yourself back actively in the Catholic Church, and not only that, but are getting ready to enter into the life of a priest of the Catholic Church. Talk a little bit about what made you want to explore another religious experience and how it is that you found yourself back into the Church.
Yes, Monsignor. As I mentioned it, my country is primarily Catholic. So it's part of our culture to take the kids to the sacraments. So my family wasn't practicants at the religion. I don't know if I can call it a call to the priesthood when I was in church when I was a kid, like 9 years old. I get really attracted to be in church during my time of getting prepared for my Holy Communion. But my mother and my dad, they doesn't get involved much. So my grandma was the one that was taking me every week to the classes. One day, a couple came to my house and they offered Bible classes. They don't mention that was for a different denomination. And my mom say, oh, this kid, my kid, he loved to be in church. So he will be interested in getting your Bible classes. So it's how I get involved with the Jehovah Witness. They never identify as another religion. My mother doesn't even know until like maybe 10 years after that I was getting involved in another religion. Even myself, I don't understand much about it. But I ended involved totally with the Jehovah Witness, preaching in the streets, knocking doors, and in my 13 years old, I pulled a lot of Catholics, if I can say that, from the religion.
And how old were you when all of a sudden the yearning to want to reconnect with Catholicism came back to you?
By the years of 17, I don't get comfortable with the religion because they don't give me any answers and I get some kind of agreement with some people and they don't give me any explanations. So finally I left. But do my indoctrination with that church, I don't want to get back to Catholicism. Mm. So I totally get involved in my regular life, just going to school and working.
And what was there anything in particular that was attractive, or was it just the yearning to be connected to something that you knew? Or
thinking about that particular conversion, if I can call it that way, was a tragedy that happened in my house. Me and my whole family, my sister, my mother, we start looking for help from God. And in particular, I stopped where I was walking in the streets of Japan and I thought back about God and I initiate a prayer, a communication with God. I don't talk to you for a long time, but I know that you are with me. So I really need you. In that moment, when I was walking in the street, I saw a building in my back that was a church. By God's grace, I found that that church was a Catholic church. And being there is how I get reconnected to God.
You should talk to St. Augustine frequently because yes. The little path that you took sounds very much like his own. He was out there looking for answers for things. He wasn't getting them, so he got dissatisfied and then realized, God's the only one that can give me the answers that I need. And when you said, I hope it was prayer, it was prayer. It was the best kind of prayer where you reach out to God and say, I need you. Can you help me? Yeah. We talked a little bit before we started the podcast today that when you look at it, you really are a missionary priest in the United States in many, many ways. You know, you left your homeland of Colombia, which is still very important to you and the culture with which you grew up, but you're giving your life now to the church in Orlando, and you're going to help the whole community of the church. The bishop could assign you to an Hispanic ministry. He could assign you to an English-speaking, an Anglo community, or ask you to do any other kind of thing. And you're opening your heart and saying to the bishop, whatever the church needs me to do, I can do. That's a real missionary spirit.
Yes, my heart is in the mission. I need to be a missionary with God called me. And he called me at the Church of Orlando, a diocesan priest.
You've been here now, is it 4 years that you're completing?
Yes, 4 years.
Which is amazing. So I had just finished my first year when you arrived here, but they go by quickly. You don't think of that when you look ahead, but when you look back, I think you'd agree, boy, this went much more quickly than I thought it would.
Yes.
What's your experience been like here at Pope St. John? What did you find challenging? What did you find consoling?
I think challenging the weather, being in Massachusetts, because I'm coming from Orlando, I never experienced the snow before. So that was the bigger challenge in my whole life. You know, like the weather at the beginning, the first year, also living in a full community with a schedule. Two major things that I would like to remark in those 4 years is something that impressed me from the beginning and is still impressed me right now from our seminary, is that they treat you as an adult and they expect you to act as an adult. So if you act as a mature person in this seminary, as you are, they treat you the same way. Okay, you know where you are, you know where you want, you know what you are called for, so we're not gonna be after you all the time telling you what you have to do. You know what you have to do. So that is beautiful to have that support, you know, from the beginning to the end. You know, this is your place, this is home for you. And the secondly, that our education, our formation, even if it's intellectual, absolutely it's intellectual, the faculty and professors, they are more concentrated and form you as a shepherd, as the image of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They want for you to become a good pastor, mm-hmm. and a good priest with all the academic that you can obtain. They are here more worried about you being a good priest, a really good priest.
Good. And I want to thank you. You came here, and I know that I share a sentiment that the whole faculty would share. You gave yourself completely to the program, and that's why I think it has gone so well for you. You didn't hold back. You did what you were asked to do, and you did it with grace. You have a number of men in fourth year who will be ordained on May 27th, and you'll certainly be very much in our prayers over that.
Thank you.
So in thanking you, Deacon Edgar, I want to thank also our visitors who are here with us today listening to this podcast, and thank you for your continued support. This is a great place. It exists for older men who discover later in life that God wants them to do one thing more, and that is to serve as a priest in the life of His church. So thank you for your support. Thank you for joining us. And we look forward to meeting you and talking with you in our next opportunity for podcast. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.